Welcome to the Faith for My Generation podcast, where our vision is to shake and shape a generation with the power of God's Word. We're on one mission, to raise up a generation of powerful believers through the relevant teaching of God's Word. I'm so thankful that you're here today. I'm your host, AJ. Let's get into the episode. Do you want to grow in the Lord? Do you want to follow Jesus and imitate Him? Do you want to get the most out of this life of faith? Receive all that God has in store for you? I'm going to show you the key to do those very things on this episode of the Faith for My Generation podcast. Good morning. This is your wake-up call. It's wake-up call 100, the supernatural power of understanding. That's right. Wake-up call 100. Shooting off my finger guns. So thankful that you're here for the 100th wake-up call. Of course, we've got over 200 episodes on this Faith for My Generation podcast, but every Monday we release a wake-up call. And this is the first wake-up call of the year 2024 as it drops on January 8th. I'm thankful that you're here watching and listening. If it's your first wake-up call, glad that you finally joined the party. If you're here for your 100th wake-up call, hey, thanks for sticking around. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15, and we're going to read a couple verses, and we're going to look for a few minutes this morning, or if you're listening at some other time of the day, but when it releases this morning, at the supernatural power of understanding. What is it? How do we receive it? And what does it do for us? Ephesians 1 verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ, and when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him, raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. That is the prayer, first prayer that we see in the book of Ephesians. There's two prayers in the book of Ephesians. Of course, this letter was originally written to the church in Ephesus, but not exclusively to them, because the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 that no prophecy is of private interpretation. When God speaks, it may be specific direction for a person, but there's always principle there. But in the matters of the Bible and what we have received, written down, penned down by holy men of old, moved on by the Holy Ghost, they wrote down the oracles, the truths, the prophecies, the words of God, and it is for you and I, the believer and the church, to understand, believe, and live by. And in this first chapter of this letter, written to first the Ephesus church that heard it first, but to all believers, we see this prayer. It is a prayer for understanding. We've actually dealt with this passage a couple times, but I want you to see something today that the Lord put on my heart. There is a supernatural power of understanding. That's right. The simple faculty of understanding, of receiving knowledge, wisdom, being able to take that in, comprehend it, it creates an atmosphere for the supernatural power of God to operate in your life. After all, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to this group of believers, and it's his sincere desire. The first thing he prays about, he opens up in chapter 1 with some beautiful belief and truth and doctrine concerning redemption and what the redemption we have in Christ. And then when he gets done talking about that a little bit, he then says, you know what, I actually always pray for you, continually pray for you. Verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you and make mention of you in my prayers. And then he says, and in fact, this is what I'm desiring and praying. I'm praying to God that he will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, obviously, that is the Holy Spirit. But these people that are reading this letter, they're believers. Catch this. They have the spirit of sonship. Romans chapter 12 tells us that no one can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So they have the Holy Spirit inwardly as the spirit of sonship. Galatians 4, crying, Abba, Father. By the Spirit of God, we cry, Abba, Father. They have the spirit of sonship. So there is something more to receive from the Holy Spirit. And I want you to understand that. You know, some people, they call themselves cessationists. They do not believe in the functioning work of the Holy Spirit in certain ways in the earth. I am a believer and I'm not a doubter. I believe in the Word of God and I do not believe that God has changed. He is the same yesterday, today, yesterday, and forever. And I believe in signs, miracles, and wonders. Some people might say, well, if that were the case and it's still for today, why don't I see more of them? And I would say maybe it's because we, believers in the church, are not operating, believing, or consecrating ourselves to the same level and degree that other people did that did operate in these signs, miracles, and wonders and under the mighty anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the fact is, I've seen many of it. I would also say, if you're not seeing it, maybe you're hanging around the wrong folks. If you get in a den full of unbelievers, you probably won't see a whole lot of God. Come on, somebody. But I believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And right here, it's plain to see, Paul is speaking to a bunch of believers. He's saying, I'm praying that you'll get the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Well, who is the him? Of God. In the knowledge of the Lord. So I'm praying that you receive a greater infilling, baptizing, flow, work, whatever word you want to call it, a greater move of the Holy Spirit in your life so that you might gain knowledge. At the point that you gain knowledge, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Some translations say the eyes of your heart being illuminated or enlightened. Now think about that. The function of your eyeball, if you will. If you're in a pitch black room and there is no source of light, you can't see your hand in front of your face, right? But the moment there's a spark, just a glimmer of light, your eyes actually will adjust to use the smallest glimmer of light so that you can see. You've all done this. We've all done it. At night, maybe you're in bed and you need to get up and walk to the kitchen and get a glass of water. And probably most of our homes are not pitch black, completely black. There's probably at least a little bit of starlight, moonlight, maybe some little indicator lights on like a power strip or LEDs, or maybe your cell phone's charging. There's a little red light, or, you know, there's just a little bit of light here or there. And it's actually enough for your eyes to adjust. And if you give it a minute, you can actually, quote unquote, walk in the dark, right? But your eyes have adjusted to the degree of light that you have available. It is no different than with us in the spirit. Your spiritual eyes adjust to the degree of light that you have. I'm going to say that one more time. Your spiritual eyes, the eyes of your heart, will adjust to the degree of the light that you have. And the more light you have, the more you can see in the situation, right? Maybe you're doing some kind of work. Maybe you've done something before where you need more light and you go turn on more lights or get a bigger flashlight or change out the bulbs to a higher wattage in a room because it's so dim. That's what takes place when we receive understanding through God's Word, by the voice of the Holy Spirit, and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our understanding, the eyes of our heart, are enlightened. We can see spiritually clearer. See, we receive understanding by the eyes of our heart. And what does that mean? Well, it's talking about our spirit, the spirit of a man or a woman. Your spirit, right? You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Oftentimes, We allow our body to rule and reign through its desires and wills, and then our emotions from the soul jump in and rule and reign. And oftentimes our spirit's struggling to dominate the soul and flesh. Though under the Lordship of Christ, our spirit should rule our soul and flesh because we are spiritual people. And so you are a spirit. You've been made in the image of God. He is a spirit. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You are a spirit. And so your spirit, it is the faculty, it is the means, it is the place by which you receive knowledge and wisdom from God. Just as the eye is to the body, so is your spirit to the inner, to your inner man. Your entire life with God, you receive knowledge, wisdom, understanding through His Word, through the voice of the Holy Spirit, in your spirit, by your spirit. See, Psalms 119 says this, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." Now, obviously, when what Psalm 119:18 is saying here is, it doesn't mean necessarily, open my physical eyes. No, the desire and the prayer here is, Lord, open up the eyes of my heart so that when I study your law, I see wondrous mighty things out of it. You know, the spirit of the man is how we receive things from God. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Verse 10, "But God has revealed them to us through his spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." And there's the key. How do we receive this understanding? If the level of our life that we live, the capacity we have to follow Christ, the degree that we're sold out, the ability we have to receive from God, our being dynamic and active for the kingdom of God is directly related to our spiritual understanding. How do we receive understanding? We receive understanding, well, Psalm 119:18, through the law, through the word of God. But how do we get help doing that? The helper helps our understanding, I write. Here, my little outline for the wake-up call. The helper helps our understanding. Notice verse 17, what Paul's praying in Ephesians 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. See, it's the Holy Spirit. It comes down to this. All things that take place and function in the life of the believer, it is a working of the Holy Spirit. You know, I was in prayer and study past Saturday, and I was thinking about that, and that kind of came to my mind and my understanding, just meditating on the things of God, particularly for this understanding, the spiritual power of understanding. Everything that functions and operates and works in the believer, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, right now we just need to say this. Let's pray this right now. Lord, may we be more and more submitted. May we be more and more reverent and in awe and thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. For it is by His power and His might that you bring to pass your promises and your will and desire in our life. Amen. In Jesus' name. Notice what Jesus said, John 14:26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." So notice that. Jesus is saying, I got to go. Once I finish up what I've come to do, which is purchase redemption and then be seated at the right hand of the Father to ever make intercession for believers and be the high priest eternally in heaven, you now will receive a helper. His name is the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one who will come alongside, lock arms, lead and guide and direct and strengthen you. And when He comes from the Father, He's going to teach you all things. The Holy Spirit, I was just reading an account about George Mueller, who he was from the 19th century, the 1800s, in Bristol, England. He was a German believer and a man who got a heart for orphan children, and over the course of his life, cared for, I believe it was 10,000 some odd orphans, along with all the other missionary and ministry things he did, and by faith received over 1 million pounds sterling of money, all by faith. No letters sent out, no fundraisers, no donut sales, no nothing. By faith, he took his petitions to God, and supernaturally, he had a journal of over 50,000 prayers answered, that where he would write the prayer and he would come back and write it when it was answered, of his personal journal. Amazing. Amazing. And he made this point that we receive understanding from the master teacher, who is the Holy Spirit. You know, I encourage you every time you open up your Bible, ask the Lord, Lord, teach me by the Holy Spirit your truth. That's what you should pray, because he is here and he has come and he will teach you all things. If you went to John 16:13, it would say this: however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. See, the Holy Spirit, he is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Isaiah 11:2, speaking of the anointing that will come on Christ, that we too now have by the Holy Spirit when we receive by faith. Isaiah 11:2 says this: the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. See, the Holy Spirit, one of his main ministries in the life of the believer is to enlighten your understanding, is to give you more understanding in the things of God. And we do that through his word. When we're studying the Bible, when we're studying the word of God, the Holy Spirit is helping us to understand spiritual concepts. Now, what is it that the Lord desires you to understand? Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. God wants your understanding, your knowledge of him, to be increased, to be enlightened, for you to gain understanding in these three areas: God's call, God's riches, and God's power. God's calling, which is the fulfillment of God's plan of redemption in the earth. See, we look, it's the hope of his calling. Notice it's not your calling, my calling, or a specific calling, but the hope of his calling, the Lord's calling, which is the finality, the consummation, the bringing about to completion, the plan of redemption. Sure, for you and I, we have been redeemed in Christ, but we're talking about the completion of God's plan in the earth, bringing this earth, which is currently under rebellion, under the sway of the wicked one. 1 John 5 tells us that. We can see it, that the wicked one sways this world to do wicked things in rebellion to a holy God. And the hope of his calling is to stamp out all sin and evil and Satan himself, and to establish his reign once again in the earth. Well, the Lord also desires for us to know his riches. This is beautiful. Do you know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Notice that. It's in the saints. The riches of the glory of God's inheritance is in you. In fact, it's you. We, the church, we're the Lord's riches. He greatly values us. I read this and this encouraged me. Titus chapter 2, starting at verse 11. For by grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. The Lord redeemed you for himself, his own special people. He purchased you. You are his inheritance. You are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. It's in you. What's in you? The life of God. He purchased you so that he could make you brand new, so that he could fill you with his life. Third thing that God wants you to understand is this: you have his power operating in you. Notice verse 19 of Ephesians 1. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Well, what is this mighty power? Which he, verse 20 of Ephesians 1, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. The same power that raised Christ from the grave, that raised Christ from the pit, is the power of God that operates in you. Not a lesser, not a generic version, not an off-brand, not a wish.com version. It is the power of God. And think about that. Right now, as I'm saying that, me, you, we're hearing the Word of God, the truth of God. Our faith is being built up, and it's stirring us up. Right now, when you heard that, you thought, "Ooh, praise God." Not a lesser, the same power. Romans 8:11 says this, "But if the Spirit of him who raised him from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Two different times, dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. The Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. That's right. The power of God that was able to break off the grave and death itself makes you alive. Wow. Amazing. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Now, why is spiritual understanding so important? Well, without it, we're destroyed. Destruction comes when we don't have spiritual knowledge. Listen to this, Hosea 4:1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Verse 5 of Hosea 4. Therefore you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night. And I will destroy your mother. Verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you've forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. See, when we lack spiritual understanding, destruction comes. These people of Israel, they're worshiping idols, false gods, which are simply just means for them to worship devils. That's what the Bible tells us. In the book of Psalms, it says that. I believe it's also in, is it First Kings concerning Solomon. It mentions how those idols, when they begin to worship and sacrifice idols, they were worshiping demons and devils. It was just simply a physical place that they could express that worship towards, but they were actually worshiping demonic entities. Why were the chosen people of God worshiping devils and demons? Lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:1, there is no knowledge of God in the land. Verse 6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Notice, it's not a lack of power. Notice, it's not a lack of anointing. It's not a lack of relationship with God. It's not a lack of worship. It's not a lack of prayer. It's a lack of knowledge. You operate according to the knowledge that you have. To the level and degree of understanding you have in any area of life, that is the cap. And it's the same way with your faith life. You can only believe for what you know. If you don't know God's promise, that you can't believe for it. That's why faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. When you discover new truths in God's Word, it's building up your most holy faith. But without understanding, it brings destruction. Without spiritual understanding, we lose our reward. 2 John, there's only one chapter in 2 John. 2 John verse 7 and 8 says this, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh." This is a deceiver and an antichrist. "Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, that we may receive a full reward." Now notice, the Apostle John's writing to this company of believers here saying, look, there's some people operating under an antichrist spirit. They're deceivers, and they're trying to make people think Jesus never actually came in the flesh, which if Jesus didn't come in the flesh, he couldn't have paid the debt of sin for mankind, because sin was brought into the earth by a man, and sin had to be paid by a man. Romans 5 shows us that. The first Adam brought sin in the earth. The second Adam paid the debt of sin and brought life. And so if Jesus didn't come in the flesh, so much of the Word of God is now void, and the plan and power of redemption has ceased to exist, null and void. And that's why the Apostle John is saying, by the Holy Spirit, they are deceivers and antichrist. And then he says, look to yourself. And today, I'm saying even right now, you better check yourself. You know, hey, turn to your neighbor and say, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Right? You better check yourself. Come on. Why? Because you don't want to lose what you've worked for. You don't want to lose what you've received. Because you want to receive a full reward. See, when you lack understanding, it leaves room for deception. And when deception comes, you lose your reward. Another, I'm sure there's more, I just got a couple right here, but another reason we have to increase our spiritual understanding, but this would be more so not just for you and I, the faithful, it would be for those around us that we love and have compassion for, that Christ died for, we want to see saved. See, when you don't have spiritual understanding, it results in eternal death. 2 Corinthians 4:3, "But even if our God is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing." Verse 4, whose minds the God of this age, little g, God, Satan, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, is the image, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Verse 5, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake." Verse 6, "For it is the God who commanded light out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Wow. Can you see the connection there with Ephesians 1? People that are not saved are in spiritual darkness. They do not have spiritual understanding. There's no light. The eyes of their heart are not enlightened. The eyes of their heart are darkened. And when you and I witness, when we share the good news of Jesus, when we lead people to Christ, when we declare God's truth, when we tell people about God and His plan of redemption through Christ, what we are doing is we are shedding light in dark places. And the Word of God, it's like a light. I'm going to show you that in just a second. Some of you, when I just said that, thought of a particular psalm. But the Word of God, it's like light that pierces through the darkness, cuts through the darkness, so that the people that are receiving the light can actually see. Now, if this spiritual understanding is so powerful, and it is what determines whether we rise or fall in this life, how do we get it? Well, one avenue that we receive understanding is through prayer. Old Testament, my friend, not Galatians. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." The Amplified Version says this, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize, and have of and have knowledge of and understand. The New Living Translation says this, "Ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come." Now the principle here, of course, we see the Spirit of the Lord is telling Jeremiah to tell the people of Israel, hey, ask. But the principle here is this is very simple. God is not a respecter of persons. Call to God and He will answer you. And He will show you great and mighty things, inaccessible things, which you, notice, do not know. I'm going to show you things you don't know. There's some inaccessible things. There's some things that are not available to you yet. If you'll simply call unto me, I'll show them to you. We receive spiritual understanding through the avenue of prayer. You know, it's when you're praying that you're going to get leading and direction of the Holy Spirit of where to work, where to live. You know, if you're considering colleges or higher education after you graduate high school, where to go to school? Should you go to college? Is college right for what you need to do? Do you need to go to tech school? You need to do something of that nature. Yeah, or just go straight into business, entrepreneurship, internship. Just learn from people. Who to marry? Is this the right person? A couple dates? I like her, but is she the one? Where to go to church? When you're in church, how to honor your pastor and honor your church family? What can I do, Lord? What have you called and gifted me to do to help build your church? Who to speak to on the job, at school? Whose hearts are ready to receive? Show me somebody I can witness to and win them to Christ. That's when you get that understanding. That's when you get that revelation. That's when you get direction in prayer. We also receive understanding through the Word of God. Psalm 119, 130 says this, "The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Notice the entrance. So when the Word of God comes into my heart, it's giving light. It's shedding off light. It gives understanding to the simple. I don't know about you, but you know, I'm not necessarily the sharpest tool in the shed. I'm not the dullest, but I'm probably, you know, okay edge, right? I can use a little help. Well, the Word of God gives understanding to the simple. Thank God for that. You know what? You can have the highest degrees man can give you, but if you do not understand spiritual things, my, you are deprived and depraved. You are lost and undone. Me, you, anyone. We can have all the accolades of man, all the knowledge of man, but if we don't have the knowledge of God, it's worthless. Psalm 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Here it is again, the Word of God shedding light, the eyes of your heart being enlightened. Listen to this, check this out. Romans 16 says this, verses 25 through 27, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began." Verse 26, "But now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to faith, to God alone wise be glory Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." Do you see that in verse 26? By the prophetic scriptures made known. Yet again, it's the Word of God that makes known that which was a mystery. In this context, Romans 16, it's referring to the plan of redemption. What was a mystery in years past has now been revealed through the Word, through the prophetic scriptures. We also receive understanding through Jesus, through the Son. Hebrews 1:1, "God who at various times in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet," verse 2, "has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds." Verse 3, "who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." The Father speaking to us through his Son. See, everything you're going to receive as far as spiritual knowledge goes, it's done through the Son in Christ Jesus. It's the life of Christ, but it's also our relationship with the Lord Christ, Lord Jesus. Ephesians 4:20 tells us that you have not so learned Christ, in reference concerning the darkened minds of sinful people who are dark in sin and not come to redemption, who we all were before we were saved. We didn't learn Christ in those things. We learned Christ in His power and His might in redemption and through the Word. But God is speaking to us through His Son. He communicates to us through Christ. Now, the last thing I want you to know is this. There is a supernatural power to understanding. It's the title of the wake-up call. It's what I opened up with. And what is it? The supernatural power of understanding is simply this. You receive what God has promised. That right there moves mountains, changes lives, heals bodies, restores marriages, wins people to Christ, builds the church, gives you long life, gives you peace, joy, gives you provision and abundance and everything you have need of, gives you a call, gives you a mission, gives you purpose. The supernatural power of understanding is simply this. It makes you able to receive the things of God. Notice this. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. There are some things that are secret that belong to the Father, that belong to the Lord. Jesus, when He's speaking to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, He's saying, I'm about to leave, but you stay here in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. They say, well, when will you restore the kingdom of Israel? He says, that's under the Father's authority. Don't worry about that. Rather, you will be baptized, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be witnesses. Acts 1:8. So notice, there are some things that are under the authority of the Father. Paul, in 2 Corinthians, talks about going to the third heavens and seeing things that weren't lawful for him to express and tell us about. So he saw some things that he had to keep secret. There are some things that have yet to be revealed. But that which is revealed, it's ours. And it's our children. It's ours and it's our children's and it's forever. See, what you get from God, what you receive from the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, through His Son, when you gain spiritual understanding, it's yours and no one can take it from you. See, spiritual understanding, when you gain spiritual understanding of who you are in Christ, you realize you're a new creation reality and you carry yourself differently. You glorify God with your works and your actions. Not just this idea, I'm going to always live in sin. I've been freed from that dominion of sin. I've been freed from the dominion of sin. When your spiritual understanding is enlightened that Jesus is healer, you realize by His stripes I've been healed. When you realize that the Lord Jesus, He was made poor that we might be made rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9 tells us this, that He was impoverished, that He gave up the riches of heaven so that you and I might be made rich in this life and abound in everything that we have need of. Then you have spiritual understanding. It's yours. You receive it. You operate in a different area of life. When you realize that the chastisement of His peace the chastisement of our peace was on Him, we now have peace with God. My spiritual understanding has been enlightened. I can now receive peace. When we realize that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, Romans 14:17, but righteousness, peace, and joy by the Holy Ghost. Now I can live in peace and be filled with joy. See, it is by spiritual understanding, it is by gaining understanding of what God has promised, what God has said, what God has delivered to us through His Son. That's how we release the supernatural power of God in our life. Praise be unto the Lord forever. Man, I'm so thankful that you're here, that you're watching, that you're listening, and that you joined me for this episode. If you would, let me pray for you before we leave. Father, I pray for every single member of the faithful. Lord, in Jesus' name, open the eyes of our understanding, that we might know the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, of your inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding great power that's working in us. Lord, open the eyes of our heart so that we might clearly see who you are, who we are in Christ, who Christ is in us, and what we have received by Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I'm so thankful for you. I pray that you have purposed in your heart to live this entire year sold out and consecrated for the Lord. There's no cost too high to pay to follow Jesus, and there's no reward like following Jesus. I'm thankful for you. I know that you will give it your all because we are the faithful. I'll see you next time. God richly bless you.
Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of the Faith for My Generation podcast. Remember, every Monday I've got a brand new wake-up call for you, and every Thursday I've got a brand new episode right here on Faith for My Generation podcast. And remember, we are the faithful.